seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24 and verse 29. Luke's Gospel chapter 24 and verse 29. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. This was a journey that these two, Cleopas and the other disciple, took. Was a most wonderful journey, really. First of all, they commenced the journey with much sorrow, because the dear Lord Jesus had been taken from them and crucified. And they said, didn't they, we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And there's no doubt they verily felt that everything was gone. It's a searching place, you know, when the Lord brings his dear people there, where they feel everything is gone. Maybe even some of the sweet hopes and encouragements you've had in the way, and then you come into a season of sadness and sorrow and anguish, and the devil makes full use of it, and you feel everything is gone. But as they journeyed, and as remember, in some senses they were going the wrong direction, because they were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were going away from God's holy city to their home in Emmaus. But as they took this journey in all their sorrow and sadness, Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. But their eyes were holden, we are told, that they should not know him. So he appeared to them as a stranger. But the conversation that they had with him and he had with them was blessed. It was all upon what had taken place in Jerusalem. The sufferings of the dear Saviour, his death, and they'd seen him laid in the tomb. But this was their conversation, you know. Really, I've often felt, what about our conversation? Is it like this? All they were talking of was what had taken place concerning the dear Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when our conversation is on heavenly things. We hear so much conversation today, don't we, about the weather or the things in the world or time things. when, you know, many of the old saints in their early days, their conversation were on things of heaven. Oh, they were. And some of their conversation was very sweet, you know. And it's wonderful, you know, many early seeking children of God used to love to listen to some of the old saints, to their conversation. I remember when I was a little lad and used to go and see my dear grandparents, you know, their conversation was good. It was so often about the way the Lord was leading them, directing them, and how He'd blessed them. And I used to think, well, if only I knew a little what they did of divine blessings. And it stirred up in me a desire, you know, to know it. And here their conversation, you see, though they knew not that it was the Saviour, a risen Christ, but their conversation with Him was on vital things. But as they journeyed in that sweet conversation, we read that Moses, he spoke of Moses and the prophets and expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This was just as they got to the village, nigh unto the village. He had heard all what they had said of the things that had come to pass. And he said to them, what things? And may we have in our hearts the desire tonight to know what those things were. Whenever I read those words, what he put to them, what things? We think of the old pastor at Black Boys, the late Mr. Funnell, you know, the first pastor there, he went to East Peckham to preach, and it was in September, and it was hot picking time, and he walked the 35 miles there, and he had to stay with a dear old lady and her husband, and they were not getting back till 4 o'clock in the afternoon from hop picking. And he arrived at the house, and the dear lady said to him, well, I want you to make yourself at home. He said, well, if I can, I'll have something to eat and I'll go to bed. There's no doubt he was tired. And he was late getting up on the Sunday morning. And the dear old lady said to her husband, I don't know what sort of preacher we've got. He doesn't say anything. But they went to the house of God. And the dear man preached from those two words all day. What things? And he went into all those things that had taken place. And you know, that dear old lady and her husband had never had a day like it in the house of God. He went right into their heart of what things Christ had done for them. It's a wonderful thing if we can look within our hearts and see what things He's done for us. The psalmist said, didn't he? The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. wonderful mercy, if we can truly say that tonight. Well, these dear souls were to experience it. And then they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. But as they drew near to this village, he began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded unto them. He went right through scripture, you see, and brought them right up to what had come to pass. And then we read, and he made as though he would have gone further. They had got to their destination. He made as though he would have gone further. And you know, I've often thought of that word, you know. There are times, and I lovingly say it tonight, where the Lord puts his dear people to the test. It's like there's another illustration of this in the case of the dear disciples when they did what the Lord commanded them, to get into a ship, and they were obedient to his command, and they got in the ship, and they sailed. And he went into the mountain to pray. But they hadn't gone far before a great storm arose. And they were toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And then he came to them walking upon the sea, and it was the darkest hour, the fourth watch of the night. But we read in that sacred account that he would have passed by them. He put them to the test. He came, they saw him coming to them, and then he made as though he was going to pass by them. He tested their faith out, you see. If you've got a grain of living faith and I have, it'll be tested. Oh, it will. And here in the case of these, and I'll just be brief, these two dear souls, Cleopas and the other disciple, he made as though he would have gone further. He puts them to the test to see how they react. You know, you can often test a person out by seeing how they react. Sometimes they don't react very well. But here, there was a wonderful reaction. And our text is what is recorded. But they constrained him. You think, poor, unworthy sinners. These two dear disciples were to constrain the Lord of life and glory to abide with them. Do you know what it is to constrain him to abide with you? We read in the Acts of the Apostles that wonderful account of Lydia. And we read this, that how the Lord opened her heart that she might attend unto the things that were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And we read this, and she constrained us. You know, the Lord put in the heart of these two dear disciples his constraining love to constrain the Lord of life and glory to abide with them. But they constrained him. You know, we read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, don't we? For the love of Christ constraineth us. And it was love in their heart that constrained them to constrain him, the dear Redeemer, to abide with them. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. He made as though he was going to go on in the journey. But they constrained him. And may we have it put deep in our hearts to constrain the dear Redeemer to abide with us. These two were three words really so rested upon me late this morning. Abide with us. Now, let me put it to your heart and mine too. Is that your prayer tonight? Lord, do abide with us. It may be in some particular way you need him to abide with you. Because what a difference it is when the Lord is abiding in our hearts. Dwelling there. And what does the hymn writer say concerning him dwelling in us? Unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing divine. So they constrained him. Abide with us. It's a good prayer, you know. And it may be in some particular thing you're in tonight, you fear in it, you walk alone in it. But what a difference when he abides with us. You see, as they journeyed, he drew near and went with them. He abode with them in the journey. Now they come to their own home, where they dwelt. And they feared that he was going to leave them. But no. He was to abide with them. Now, if nothing this evening, may the Holy Spirit put this prayer deep in our hearts. Abide with us. It's a wonderful thing when we can feel it inwardly in our own heart. And we think of it as a church and people. My great exercise and concern is that the Lord would continually abide with us. Because in his presence, there's everything you need. Oh, there is. Moses was so exercised about that, wasn't he? That the Lord would abide with him as he led the children of Israel through that wilderness. And what did the Lord say to him? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The Lord was to abide with him right through that journey. You cannot always feel it though, can you? But is it our desire that he would? And when he does, as the hymn writer said, in thy presence I am happy. You know, these dear disciples, though they started the journey in sadness, were to be made happy by his sweet presence being with them. The whole scene was to change. And especially when he broke the bread in the house, and then they knew him. Oh, they did. But what does our text say? Abide with us now in your afflictions. Oh, that we might feel in the powers of affliction the Lord abiding with us. You may be weighed down by sin and weighed down by sorrow tonight. But if the Lord draw near and abide with you, he'll remove all the sin that troubles you. all the darkness, all the sorrow, all the distress. And you can bask, as it were, in his sweet presence. And there's no safer place. In thy presence I am happy, and in thy presence I am secure. I love that couplet of the hymn. Because the sweet security surrounding the soul when the Lord abides with us. But then we read that it is toward evening. The day was nearly finished. This is why they feared darkness was coming upon the earth, and you know, things always get worse at night, don't they, or appear to us. It's darkness. What do we read in the prophecy of Isaiah? Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The morning cometh, and also the night. You know, often things are far worse at night, in the dark hours of night. And the devil makes full use of it. I remember visiting a dear man, he was only just 40. He was dying of cancer, and you know, it was a pleasure to go and see him, really, as he'd been in a sweet frame. But his dear wife said to me, you know, she said, it's always worse at night. She said, the devil seems to get let loose at night. He takes full advantage of the darkness. Now, they, it was toward evening. And they feared he was going to go further. Now, there are various evenings which we could look at. There's the evening time of the day, and it may be like that with you tonight. There have been times, you know, when we were in business and at work and that, and the days were long, and had to go to the house of God, tired and weary. And it was evening. But you know, some of those sweetest hours were in the evening. Why? Because he drew near and abode with us. And you won't forget those times when he does, poor soul. You may feel weary, faint in the way. But oh, when he abides with us. We read, don't we, in the hymn, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. But then the evening time of our lives. You know, there are those, the dear children, in the morning time, aren't they? The morning time of the day, as it were, the morning time of life. And then there are those in the afternoon, in the middle-aged part of life. But then there are those in the evening. And with many of us tonight, it's the evening time. Past the 80 years, the days, the old preachers used to say, once we get to 70, we're on borrowed time. But you see, we know that is not altogether true, because every man, every woman has an appointed time here. But the evening time, it is evening. And I remember preaching from this at Brighton, a few years ago, one Lord's Day evening. And dear Mr. Raymond Woodhams was ever so ill at the time, and in Bethesda. And when I visited the home a few days afterwards, he said, you know, you came right where I was. It's the evening time. My days are nearly over. It's the evening time. And he said, as you preach from that, abide with us. He said, that was my soul's longing, and it is, as we come down to the swellings of Jordan. And the dear man was quite full, you know. I shall never forget how he said it, you see. It was just what he needed. It's toward evening. But then there's the evening times of trouble and trial and affliction. You see, the evening time, if you look at it in a natural way, what follows it? The night. Darkness. And so often when we're in a time of trouble or time of affliction or time of trial, it seems a long season we seem to be in it, and then we fear the night, don't we? Darkness coming. But, you know, there's a wonderful word. I often pray it for our dear aged friends, and may we know it personally. It was the last word, really, my late dear grandfather heard preached before the Lord constrained him to follow him in the ordinance of baptism. And it was this: at evening time, it shall be light. That's a wonderful promise. You see, when you think of the evening generally, you know it's going to be dark soon. But he says at evening time it shall be light. And how wonderful it is when we're in a time of affliction or a time of trouble or a time of distress, and when we come, as it were, into the evening. But then the Lord gives light instead of what we fear was darkness. Now here we have this sweet word, you see, abide with us, for it is toward evening. It was fact with them. It was toward evening. And the day is far spent. They were weary, there's no doubt about it. I haven't looked it up how many miles or kilometres it was from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Some of you may know, but there's no doubt they were weary, especially all what they'd been through. The day is far spent. But then we read this beautiful word, and he, Jesus, went in to tarry with them. He heard their cry, their groanings, their soul's utterance, abide with us. And he went in and abode with them. You know, they would never forget this, were they? And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You know, he revealed himself, didn't he, to them. Read on another occasion, he made himself known to them in the breaking of bread, and so he did here. Revealing himself. It's a good prayer in the hymn, we sung it, haven't we, many times. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. And you see, as he went into their home, and reveals himself. And what could they say about this journey? did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? He burned in love to him. And while he opened unto us the scriptures, and then they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, they got something to tell the disciples when they returned, didn't they? Of the wonders that they'd experienced. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have something to tell of what the Lord has done. They got something they could declare, didn't they? We read in the other Gospels where he was made known to them as they journeyed. Well, I've scratched around the surface, the time has gone, but may the Holy Spirit first of all put this desire in our hearts to abide with us as we go on from this hour. What does the hymn writer say? Leave me not to walk alone. But oh, may we be favoured to know a little what they did, and then too, for our heart to burn within us. The hymn writer said, kindle the flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours. And you know, as he abode with them, he warmed their hearts, so it burned in them, in love and in affection to their dear Redeemer. They could truly say then, couldn't they, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. And then they go off, return back to Jerusalem, God's holy city, to declare to the disciples what a dear Saviour they had found. Well, may the Lord bless the world.